Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Yeah, all right, let's get cracking. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm telling you, I'm honored that you have said, yeah, I want to be a part of this podcast. Yeah, I want to be a part of this platform, because you know why? You're an industry hero to me. You're an industry hero that is not just changing lives around the world. You're changing my life. You are. But you're changing communities. And that's why you are bold, you are brave, and you dare greatly, and your innovation is just second to none. That's why you're an industry hero. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. That's why the Industrial Talk Podcast is here. It's a celebration. Ooh, celebration. All right. Let's talk about the hot seat. Hot seat on this interview is a gentleman by the name of Sai. And Sai, forgive me if I mispronounce your last name. Yamanor. Let's say it's Y-A-M-A-N-O-O-R. Fabulous stat card out there on LinkedIn. And, of course, you can imagine he's the only Sai out there with that last name. And he's with Lindy, and we're going to be talking IoT in years. And Scott, I don't want to talk IoT. You have to talk IoT. This is coming from the perspective of you got to design it. You got to solve problems. You got to be able to deliver solutions that are meeting the market's need. Sai, he's a designer of this stuff. So let's get cracking. Yeah, he is. Yeah, I know. I've talked about it. I have. But the reality is that it's here to stay. Now, Sai brings a lot of doggone street cred, and it's important. It is. I'm just telling you, it is. And I want to make sure that you understand and put this on your calendar. Now, it's happening today, but he's speaking at a conference. Let's check it up. Let me pull it up on my fabulous computer here. And it is the Industrial IoT World Conference. Yeah, I get confused too. This one is Industrial IoT World, okay? And it is December 1st, today, through the 3rd, and it's talking about adapt and win. Boy, do we need to adapt. Holy shnikey. Seize IIoT now for lasting digital transformation. That's pretty positive. Why wouldn't I want to do that? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Sai speaking at this particular event. Again, get it on your calendar. This is December 1st. Today, through the 3rd, still have time. Do not lollygag. Get out there. And I'll have that link out there. It's all good. Look at all these wonderful speakers. I'm impressed. Yeah, I'm out on the website. You can't. Come on. Got to register. All right. Before we get in the interview, but I want to just be able to chit-chat briefly about your 2021 plan. How are you going to sell in this market? How are you going to not just survive, which we have to, you have to, we depend on you, but how do you survive, rebuild, and prosper in this particular world? I have ideas. I have, you know, insights, but you need to start thinking about it now. How do you be able to do that in a world that is still very fuzzy, very foggy out there about how do we conduct business? You're not pressing the flesh. You're not going out there, you know, hey, let me buy you a drink and let's talk business. Everything's still, and for the foreseeable future, a little chaotic, a little uncertain. So I'm challenging with you with that. You got to start thinking through it. I have some ideas. I have some solutions. But for the most part, you got to start thinking through that. The other thing, and I'm going to be doing a live on this one, but the other thing is going to be, hey, what do you think of webinars? Are you tired? Are you a little fatigued? Maybe I should come up with a word that talks a little bit about web fatigue. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I know that I'm fatigued. And it's not as if I don't want to consume the content. It's not that I don't want to learn more. It's the fact that, is the message getting out? Is it being consumed? Is it just becoming just noise? And unfortunately, from my perspective, it's becoming noise. I get notifications all the time. And it's all good. Don't get me wrong. It's not meant to be a wet blanket or a slap across the face. It's just, what do we do? Where are we going? We still have to communicate. We still have to figure out the solution of being able for people to listen to you and to consume it and to be able to have action, right? I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going to be doing a live because I can and because it's fun and because I can do it. Anyway, I'm going to be doing that, and I think I have some ideas. I'm going to pose some uncomfortable positions here and there, but I think you got to have this conversation. All right, on to the interview. Sai Yamanur. Sorry, Sai, if I mispronounced. I think I got it. Yamanor. Go out to his stat card. He's got a website, too, and you'll hear it in the interview. He's got a website that is solely dedicated to him just sort of playing around and making IoT devices. How about that for a hobby? I bet you not many people have that type of hobby. In fact, he's probably one of just a handful of people that say, my hobby is to build IoT devices outside of my job. I just build IoT devices because it's fun. That's pretty cool, huh? All right, let's get going. Thank you again, Sai. Enjoy this particular interview. Wonderful guy, great insights. Enjoy the Sai Man. Sai, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, and it's an absolute honor. I'm looking forward to this conversation, and listeners, he's got mad skills out there on his LinkedIn stat card. So I want to make sure you write this down, listeners. His name is Sai, last name spelled, pencil and paper time, Yamanor. Do not miss out in connecting with this gent, because he's going to be talking a lot about IoT. However, we're talking a little bit about how we're going to scale this IoT, what goes into it, all of that good stuff. Sai, welcome. How are you doing today?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
The pleasure's all on this side of the Logitech camera. Yeah, whatever this thing. Give us a little 411, a little background on who Sai is for the listeners.
Sure. So I am a senior IoT applications engineer for Linde in Buffalo, New York. In case you have not heard of Linde, Linde is an industrial gases manufacturer. You probably have used Linde's products in your life if you have ever purchased a carbonated beverage at a fast food restaurant or a party balloon. My role is in IoT hardware design.
Yeah, see, it's interesting. I've always been fascinated by industrial gas companies. Things just wouldn't happen if we didn't have companies like Linde producing industrial gas, not just carbon, everything in between and then some. You know, you've probably seen some of their trucks roaming around on the streets. They're doing big. They're a fantastic company, and they're making our lives better in a big doggone way. All right, Sai. Here's sort of the direction we're going to be heading. Now, listeners, we've talked about IoT. Yes, we've talked about Industry 4.0. We've talked about double IoT. How about that? We've talked about Edge. We've talked about AI. We've talked about machine learning. We've talked about cloud. We talked about everything. That stuff that is under the blanket of Industrial 4.0, there's something probably up there even higher. However, doesn't happen without individuals like Sai being able to sort of hear what's happening in the market, hear what the companies have to say, designing the innovation, designing the technology to serve their needs or solve their problems. So we're going to be talking a little bit about that. And because Sai brings, he's got a website out there. I just want to make sure you guys understand, and I'll post this out on industrialtalk.com. But he is so geeked out about this IoT stuff. He has an actual site that he just plays around with this stuff. How about that? Now, you know that guy's got street cred, baby. So let's talk about it. I've got my business hat on there, Sai, and I'm interested to begin my digital journey. How do you have a conversation with me? What am I trying to accomplish? Do you have any ideas?
First of all, I would try to understand what exactly is it that you want. As an IoT engineer, I try to be your advocate, if it's possible to immediately solve your problem, using an off-the-shelf product, that's the way to go. I would like to understand, how are you going to use this device? How is this product going to help you? That is the first thing I would like to, understand as an IoT engineer, because the solution might be right within your realm of possibilities. You could probably just use something that's immediately available out there in the market that could solve your problem. My role comes in only if there is nothing else available out there that could be customized to suit your needs. Because today you have hundreds of products out there that could possibly do what you want. But if there is something very specific that you would like to be accomplished, that's where I would come in.
See, it's interesting because I know the industry as a whole is trying to create some sort of standardization, we got this device and it does this, it reads this vibration, it reports this stuff, it's got 5G, whatever it might be. And then we start talking about the cybersecurity component with these devices and potential penetration issues, all of that. Give us an example of something that is so, a lot of these companies are producing these devices. Give us an example of something that's truly unique.
A unique IoT product, you mean?
Yeah.
I would say, that's a good question.
because it's so funny because when we start talking about this, like I said, there are tons of companies out there. Tons. They're developing these devices. But they're trying to develop in such a way that is sort of mass producing the capabilities so that the market says, yeah, I'll buy one of those. I'll buy 500 of those things and I'll stick them out on my, what's an example of some unique IoT situation within the industrial air market?
Okay. Since I am a hardware design engineer, I will talk about it from the hardware perspective.
Good.
Can I mention the company's name, though? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sure. So there is, you might have heard of Digi. That makes a lot of Zigbee related products. So Digi's recently came up with what's called the XB3 line of products. Personally, I'm a big fan of those. Here is why. So they designed a cellular module and a Zigbee module. And they designed it in a way such that you could write your code for the cellular module. And you could use it as is just by changing a single line of code for the Zigbee line of products. So that is the most unique product that I've recently come across. When I was working on this, I thought this is going to take a lot of effort to migrate a product that uses cellular technology and move it to, Zigbee wireless.
Yeah.
But I was surprised by how you could, just do it as is. All you had to do was change, make the new hardware and, conduct the migration. It was that easy.
Huh.
That's the best, example.
That's interesting because you're talking about, let's say, legacy devices that have been in the facility forever, whatever it might be, and to be able to convert those legacy devices to a wireless platform. Is that what you're saying? Is that what Digi does?
Yes. So there are Digi's products that are, so that uses their legacy Digi Zigbee modules. Yeah. So they have designed it in a way that not only is it backwards compatible. So let's say you deployed a Zigbee module 10 years ago, you could slap this cellular module in And not only that, you could also migrate it to your, you know, future Zigbee line of products. And on top of that, you don't need an, like, you know, a firmware programmer to do this. So someone with some basic knowledge of Python programming could actually develop a product using this. That's because they actually develop their own flavor of Python programming called, like, you know, so there is an open source project called MicroPython. So they adopted the MicroPython for their family of products. So it makes it easier for you to, so if you have some basic knowledge of Python programming, you could develop your own product because it's already FCC certified. So it just makes your life so easy.
See, and we're talking about that, that is sort of ultimate flexibility, and which is then in line, it goes in line with our next topic that I would like to be able to do this. Okay, so we got it. A lot of smart people like yourself are creating a lot of capabilities and flexibilities within, and not really sort of shoehorning, you know, the solutions into sort of, you got to do it this way, whether you like it or not type of mindset. So, and that to me bodes well from an innovation point of view. And it's important, right? Not every company's the same and so on and so forth. So many of my conversations happen around, where do I start? Which we talked about, where do I start from an IoT perspective? Can I do it incrementally, right? And people say, yeah, you can do it incrementally. Let's get some quick wins. Let's run it. Let's check it. Let's do it. And I think that that's a fabulous approach. Now I say, all right, I'm ready to scale. What do we do? How do we begin that process of scaling? I've already proved it, like it. I'm ready to scale it. How do we do that?
Well, I can talk from my personal experiences scaling such devices. The first thing to do would be to actually understand, what is your target cost? It's important to understand that. So that when you're scaling, you need to keep that in mind. And also, you have to keep your recurring overhead costs in mind as well. This is important because you need to understand who's going to pay for it. Is your customer going to pay for the overhead cost? Or are you giving this product to your customer for free? Or is this a premium-based plan? So it's important to understand your business, you need to have a business case, and you need to understand this before you decide to scale your product. You know, that yes. actually helps you under. So if you are someone if you're not going to have a lot of volume, your target cost is going to be such and such. But if you expect to have 100,000 devices, which is highly unlikely, you kind of have to in such cases, you have the liberty of making 1,000 at a time because then you can go talk to your vendor or whoever is manufacturing this device for you, and say, hey, my projected volume is this, and I'm going to buy 500 at a time, and my target cost is this. Can you do this, your capabilities and what you can do and cannot do helps you shop for people. Sometimes you might not have that option. And from there, you kind of have to make sure that you have all your agreements in place. The person that you're buying it from has an understanding. Your business, has an understanding of this is the person that they have to go to buy it. You have to keep the product lifecycle management in place. If there is any technical debt around, if there was any issue that wasn't resolved, it needs to be resolved before you start scaling because we don't want a ticking time bomb. That's multiplying.
Been deployed out there.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants to hear that in a sentence either. Ticking time bomb. This is interesting because many of the conversations I've had, the device has already been manufactured. It's like it's already out there. We got it in the warehouse and it's been tested. It's right over there. And I know it's a manufactured product, right? I know it is. Somebody's going to have, there's a lot of work that goes into just creating that device. And then when you start talking about, hey, I'm ready to scale, right? I'm ready to scale. Then you got to have that manufacturing conversation of the individual or the companies that that manufacture that product. That's a that's an interesting point. And it could be a pinch point if you don't have the design, the what you're trying to deliver clearly understood. It could be a pinch point.
Yeah. I have been in situations where the proof of concept, or rather the pilot, actually went really well. But when it came to scaling, there were actual disagreements in, like, you know, the pricing. Really? And like that was a pain point. And like even like the payment terms was a pain point. Like, you know, how are we, like, you know, the payment mechanism, like, you know, sometimes some people want like a purchase order and some people want to pay with credit cards.
Right.
And they don't want, like, you know, nobody wants to be bound by an agreement where, you know, you have to have a minimum business guarantee or something like that.
Right.
So that, like, we had to abandon things, abandon like a line of thought that we had, like, this is how we are going to scale it. Because we figured out, like, you know, like well into the product development phase that, oh, okay, this is not going to work. We need to take a new path.
You don't want to be you don't want to be there. You want to be able to ferret all that out in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Less cost up front, right? And, you know, it's more just paperwork and conversations and chirping. You're not having to sit there and put things into action. You don't want to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, you will make everyone unhappy.
As, 100%. That was subtle sigh. It's, no, 100% of everybody will be unhappy. Nobody in those type of conversations say, I like the miscommunication. I like that misunderstanding. It makes us better and stronger. Nobody says that.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
While scaling, I would like to add that while scaling, you had to keep technology obsolescence in mind as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I would like to provide a little example. So 3G networks are sunsetting, I believe, in 2022. So if you're deploying a product that uses 3G modules, you kind of have to make sure that you have a drop-in replacement for your customer. And, you, and not only that, you have to make sure that you have an arrangement with whoever is providing the product that this drop in replacements costs are, you know, like, for example, you could probably replace it with a discount, you know? Make sure, you need to plan for product obsolescence.
Wow. Yeah, see, I never thought of that either, but you're absolutely correct. And with technology as a whole, just FYI, technology as a whole tends to be pretty fast and tends to change pretty quickly. And so that is a very important technical obsolescence. I think that's interesting. Now, can you deploy from a scaling perspective? Let's say I'm a business and I can pull these off the shelf, okay, 50 of those are going to be just off the shelf. Then I've got 25 that are sort of unique to my business, and then I pull that in. Have you seen sort of a development of an IoT scaling solution that includes sort of a portfolio of just, or do you try to keep it the same?
I have done a mix of both. So the very first product that I developed for Lindy had to be developed within a scale of 6 months. So what I did was I got something off the shelf, I integrated it, and we scaled it. But like, you know, we didn't exactly like, you know, do it in 6 months, but it took a little bit longer. But we did it where we used an off the shelf product and like, you know, we customized it a little bit and scaled it. But the challenge with that is that like you kind of are tied into it. So what I have learned over time is that platformization of these things are important.
Say that again, please. Say that one. That statement. What's important?
Platformization of the
platformization. Product. Another word that's never really. I don't even know how to spell platformization.
Platformization.
Go ahead.
Let me give an example. Like the Digi products, the example that I gave, right?
Yeah.
That would be a classic example. Let's say that you're designing sensors and like, let's say you're using the Zigbee wireless products.
Yes.
So, and So you probably have set up an infrastructure to accommodate these sensors out in the field. Now, when you're going to design a product that's somewhat similar in application, but you know you're going to use, but you need cellular technology.
Yep.
So you can actually accomplish that by like just using their cellular module in your design. And so that's sort of adjacent in terms of like the technology that's available. So what happens is that your infrastructure can accommodate any type of product that's somewhat similar. This just makes your life easy because in future, let's say you're jumping onto a different application, like you could, you know, develop something that's similar in combination that just accelerates your product timeline or development timeline over time. So you don't need to actually develop something from scratch again and again, but you know, you have this infrastructure, you're just adding something new. This can go as far as like, you know, you could probably get something off the shelf and design it in a way such that it, you know, the data pipeline comes in into your existing infrastructure.
See, here's a thought that comes to mind based off of that. Let's say I'm once again, I've got my business hat on. I'm looking at a portfolio. I'm trying to, you know, I'm accelerating my digital journey, whatever that looks like. And I have history where these devices have to be either upgraded, or whatever. And if, and this is my thought that would come to mind. If I have a sort of a portfolio out there, I want that process, because I know it's going to happen, I want that process to be simplified. But if I have these, all these little disconnected type of devices that are sort of talking to each other, that whole upgrading activity is risky.
You know, so what we do in the development process, like when we get started, right? Like there are two things we consider. One is backwards compatibility. If I'm going to update something in terms of hardware, I'm going to make sure that it is backwards compatible with the previous generation of devices. Because here is why. So let's say you have millions of assets, like, you know, you don't want a fleet that's of one type and the fleet that's of other type.
Yeah.
Especially if you're designing something for a very specific customer, it becomes, you know, like unmanageable when you're trying to like, you know, deliver something very specific. So, you know, you cannot do that. So right. What we try to do is we try to maintain backwards compatibility. And we also try to maintain the possibility of doing future upgrades easier. Yeah, so that you could do a drop-in replacement. You know, you would want that. Like, right. Otherwise, life is going to be monumentally difficult.
See, and I think that many of the conversations I've had is that they're looking for many businesses, many industries, many manufacturers are looking for a silver bullet. And many individuals have talked about, I love this digital journey. I think that this is going to be great. And I think it's going to make my business more resilient going forward. All wonderful topics. Absolutely true. But they don't realize how challenging it can be. And a lot of thought processes that have to happen and conversations that have to happen to make that journey a little less painful, because nobody doubts the benefits of this. Nobody. I mean, some people say, I mean, financially, it sort of, well, you spoke on the financial, what's the cost? Maybe it doesn't align that way, but eventually people like you and others, you'll continue to drive those device costs down. And which is an interesting conversation to have is like, maybe today, these assets over here, we can't afford it. It doesn't work right. But maybe 2 years from now, revisit it, because maybe the market has changed their cost structure and all. Have you seen that?
When I found it hard to convince people that, you know, a certain something is not going to pan out, my approach has always been to actually like put something in their hands, you know, like, you know, this could be a field trial or this could be a pilot run,
right?
And like, you know, and show the deployment and see, you know, this is what we could accomplish, and this would, this is what it would cost, and this is what it would take. What I try to do is when it comes to like, you know, target costs, I try to, understand what my customer has in mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, I set that as a target. And like when I'm on the, you know, when I'm on the design board, I try to like, you know, assume that it's going to cost twice as much and it's going to take three times, twice as long.
Right.
So that, you know, and work my way backwards and see what could be tweaked and what cannot be tweaked, you know, that would help me, like, you know, that would make me estimate, like, is this going to be possible? Are we going to be able to do this within this time or within this cost? Like that, you know, I think that frame of, having that frame of reference can help you determine the feasibility of the project itself.
And again, here's the deal. Understand, but unless you have a couple of wins in your belt, some, you know, victories and saying, we just did it, this proof of concept, it works, we did it, see, soup to nuts, beginning to end, all of that stuff, and then actually realize some sort of return on it. Yeah, see, the value, the benefits that we achieved from this particular project is X, you know, being, what? Oh, I want to see it, you know, that's conversations going to happen. It's hard without having that real information and data. That's for doggone sure.
Oh, yeah.
Si, we're going to have to wrap it up. It's already beyond. It's already done. You nailed it. Are you active out there on LinkedIn?
Yes, I am on LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn as Si Yamanur.
Yeah, you go out there. I would imagine there's not many Si Yamanur. Did I get that right?
Correct. There is only one Si Yamanur on LinkedIn, and that's me.
And that's you. And his last name is spelled Yamanor. It will be out there on the Industrial Talk podcast on his pod. You got to listen to this guy. You got to reach out to him. I think he's bringing some really major gold when it comes to IoT and that conversation and how to scale and deploy in a much grander way. Si, you are wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. All right, listeners, you know what we're going to do. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. I'm going to have all the contact information from Si, and then I think there's also a conference, and I will wrap it up, and I'll give that conference a plug too as well. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
All right, Si Yamanur. All right, he's with Lindy, great company. He's doing some great things, especially in this world of Industry 4.0. Yeah, it's got to start someplace. It's got to start with a vision. It's got to start with a problem. It's got to start with how do we develop solutions in this this world. That's where it starts. Again, he's going to be one of the many speakers that are taking place at the Industrial IoT World event starting today. Two more days of it. Still have time to sign up. Great guy. Great event. Here it is. Adapt and win. Got to adapt and win. Definitely. Seize IIoT now for lasting digital transformation. You can't argue with that. You need to do it. Easy. I'll have that link out there. All right. Again, you're bold. You're brave. You dare greatly. But I want to make sure that you understand you gotta hang out with people who are bold, brave, and daring greatly. Your view of the world will change dramatically. You guys are great. Love you all. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're going to be back with another great interview shortly.